I'm your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to Alchemy, the podcast all about building a business on the front lines of the new economy.
Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. We've got a very exciting guest this week. It's going to be a fun show. I've got Noah Rubin with us. He's the author of How We Roll. He's got an incredible background. We're going to talk all about it today. But Noah, thanks so much for coming on the show.
No thanks necessary, Jeff. I really appreciate you having me.
No, it's my pleasure. You know, when my colleague Conrad told me about you, I'm like, absolutely, we have to have this guy on. So, Noah, you've got obviously a very interesting background. I know we were chatting a little bit before the show, but you are coming out with a new book, How We Roll. It's going to be hitting stores very soon, next month, October 4th. And, you know, the book is all sorts of things. Cannabis, you've got a gift guide, you've got rolling techniques, you've got quizzes, you've got amazing interviews. I can't wait to read it just because I love culture, especially around cannabis. But why don't you like quickly, you know, talk to us about why you're launching this book? Like, what was the impetus from it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great question. And, you know, it's a lifetime in the making when I really think about it. You know, in terms of making this book now, a lot of it was born out of a few things. One being this cookbook that I worked on with Snoop Dogg a few years ago when I was helping Snoop with his Mary Jane startup. And during that time, we had the opportunity to put a book together, which was this cookbook called From Crook to Cook. But it was sort of piggybacking on his show with Martha Stewart. And it sort of snowballed into this like cultural phenomenon, and it's become one of the top 10 best-selling cookbooks of the last decade. And so that built a really strong relationship between me and this publisher, Chronicle Books. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were excited about, you know, I collaborated on a few more projects with them outside of the Snoop cookbook, and then, you know, the conversation sort of led.
You can't just gloss over like that. I want to hear more about this cookbook. What was Snoop's like favorite recipe, right? And what about you? And that cookbook, like, what were you like, oh, I've got to make this?
Well, I mean, just to give you a sense of how that all came together, basically with the cookbook, like, we started with a core set of recipes that were like Snoop's favorite recipes. So, you know, chocolate layer cake, lobster thermidor, like, you know, a bunch of different stuff that Snoop has just sort of got.
Lobster thermidor.
Yeah.
I hear every day.
No, it's not, totally not. So it's like he came with this list that was really interesting, actually, where it was like, you know, how did Snoop get into this like collection of things? You know, it's like a lot of it was from traveling. A lot of it's from staying in hotels and, you know, being kind of like on the road. You know, like your access to, like, you know, it's not your favorite local restaurant because you aren't at home. You're always in a new city, in a new place. So it's like your hotel becomes your home, right? So, you know, he had picked up all these sort of recipes that gave him a sense of comfort when he was traveling. And then he had sort of compiled those into, like, you know, the beginnings of his cookbook. And then we sort of sat with him and we took that core list of things because, you know, in a cookbook, you need 70, 80, 100 recipes to make it a cookbook. And we said, okay, here's the 20 things that, you know, are like the core things that we've identified. You know, how do we extrapolate another 5 things in each category? So how do we make a nice chapter about breakfast, a nice chapter about brunch, a nice chapter about lunch, dinner, cocktails, munchies, et cetera, et cetera. So really it was about sort of taking this like core list of like fun and interesting food that Snoop had been excited about from his travels, you know, over the last several decades of being himself, basically, and then fleshing that out into something that would be a fun and exciting thing for people to have in their kitchen.
Cool, I love it. I have a cookbook out myself that I'm going to have to now send to you.
Oh, lovely! I'm ready to check it out. What is it?
Focused on cannabis, though. It's called The Digital Fork. I host this like incredible dinner series every month for CMOs for the last 4 years. And we wanted to have something to give to people after the dinner. So we've had the most amazing restaurants, like, you know, everything from, you know, Per Se to Gramercy Tavern. And we have all sorts of chefs putting their recipes for me. And it's just a beautiful book. So Remind me after the show to get your address so I could send it to you.
Oh, lovely.
So, you know, no, I also was doing a little diligence on you and, you know, got a little bit of background on some of the interviews that you've done. So Wiz Khalifa and Tommy Chong, and I think they're also going to be in your new book. And, you know, would love for you to talk a little bit about that. We've had Tommy on the show, who's just an amazing gentleman, so nice. And by the way, he's also really into food. On the show, he talked about, you know, his favorite Chinese restaurants in L.A. So it's just kind of funny, right? Because there's always that relationship between cannabis and culture and food, right? And I think that has really helped bring a lot of this to the mainstream world too. So I don't know, talk to us a little bit maybe about some of those interviews. What was the most exciting one that you've done? And yeah, I kind of feel like your book hits like every aspect of cannabis and culture, which is really cool.
Well, I love these threads that you're pulling out for us. I do agree that they are sort of, there's something essential that is connecting them and then in a broader sense, connecting all of us on this, you know, path that we're headed towards with greater liberalization around this plant, you know, hallelujah. But it's funny that you ask about those interviews because I realized I didn't really fully answer your previous question about what was the genesis of my book. And the genesis of my book was interviewing. So it really started with me hosting a podcast, a video talk show podcast on Snoop's platform when we were working together. And I was interviewing a lot of different folks, mostly musicians, comedians, from around the country and around the world. But what I realized was, you know, everyone had their own little rolling style. So it's like, you know, I interviewed this rapper, Rico Nasty, who's from the DC, Maryland, Virginia area, aka the DMV. And she, you know, everyone, you know, the way the show flowed is we'd all sit down on the couches and people would be getting lighting and audio all set up. And, you know, everyone would sit there and then like roll up. And it was just like each time, there was sort of this pre-conversation before the podcast started about like, oh, like this is an interesting, like what, you know, not just like what's your favorite brand of weed or strain, but like, oh, I see you're using tobacco in an interesting way, or like you're folding your paper in a way I haven't seen. And then like, oh, like what do you call that? And like, is that something that's like normal? So again, with Rico Nasty, she put me onto this style of rolling called Sheets and Funnels, which is sort of like an inside out spliff of sorts. And I thought that was really interesting. So I just started paying more and more attention to these sort of like regional nuances of different rolling styles that are actually, I think, you know, as someone who studied anthropology, you know, like I think it's reflective of culture in a way that's really interesting and very under-examined, in my opinion. And look, I'm not writing an academic book. I'm writing a book that's purely entertainment. But there are little bits of sort of history and culture and anthropology that give us a little bit more insight into like these ways of rolling that I think speak to something deeper about ourselves, but also are, you know, a window into fun new ways that we can stay excited about and interested in this act that has become a ritual for so many people.
Totally. I think, you know, from your focal lens, obviously you're in the world of cannabis, you're writing a book, you've done this before. Have you seen a massive acceleration the last few years around acceptance and growth?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. Like, and to your point about coasts, you know, it's like, I kind of came out here in the mid 2010s and the whole cannabis thing felt really groundbreaking, you know, and in the 5 years, 6 years since, now it feels like it's going on everywhere and in LA and California more broadly, and maybe even the West Coast more broadly, it's all kind of become old hat, right? Like, it's not even exciting anymore. It's like, oh, another cannabis brand. You know, it's like, you're like, we're right. Whereas, you know, in New York right now, I feel like it's very vibrant and very alive and very free. And, you know, like the bottom line is like legalization, quote unquote, is like important, but it also like, there's a subversive culture that I think is very much a part of the cannabis plant that can be lost in that process, where it's like that renegade spirit that has kept this plant as part of our culture for so long. You know, once things are too commodified and too regulated, you know, it just becomes, it becomes a little boring, and it's sometimes harder to get in touch with that side of things that I think is part of the excitement of the plant itself. But again, places like New York right now, where, you know, it's the transitional period where the law enforcement have decided to take a step back, but the regulatory bodies are not really able to come in and really clarify what the way that people need to be flowing is. So it's, as a result, it's just sort of an open season. So this moment that people are experiencing right now is something that I think should be like celebrated and really documented and enjoyed, because I think it represents a really unique inflection point in history where you have just people engaging in a very free way that we will have never seen before and we will never see again. Because once the laws are there and once the permitting is there, the regulatory structure will suffocate the cultural groundswell that is occurring, and it will become like California. You know, it's like we don't have people smoking weed on every corner here.
No.
You know, like we don't, you know, it's like, you know, like the 215 days, quote unquote, when it was medical only, were actually in some ways a lot more free than what we have now, which is what, you know, the adult use era, if you will. So, you know, again, I think it's a beautiful thing. I think it's a special thing. And I'm excited about people being in a better place. I mean, the thing that I'm the most excited about is, you know, people getting out of prison and, you know, and ending the criminal justice wrongs of the past and finding ways to right those, I think is really the most important thing. Like, you know, everyone's rushing to like, you know, everyone's rushing for their cash grab. But it's you know, it's definitely not the place where I think the initial energies should be focused on. I think the initial energies really need to be towards healing those wounds and really showing respect to people who've been unjustly persecuted for, you know, ultimately maintaining a culture and a product and a plant that we have all benefited from in other ways. So, you know, that's where it starts. And I'm happy that people are starting to open their eyes and happy that these laws are starting to change. And I do hope that the people that have been suffering, that their suffering does soon end.
Totally. Well, I think, you know, especially in New York, I know everyone is literally like sitting here waiting, like when can I buy recreational cannabis? And, you know, it's like they keep shifting the goalposts, right? So, you know, we're probably not going to be able to see anything until, you know, they're not even going to have any type of application periods until, I don't know, mid next year. So we're probably looking at, you know, the fall, if not maybe the soonest, in New York. And I think people are getting a little impatient, but I think something like that, where it's like they've already made the use case of, okay, cannabis is now legal for rec, but the stores can't sell it yet. So that's when you have the black market and the gray market accelerating use, right? Because no one's getting in trouble there right now, which is not really, it's not a good way to start that. But, you know, I know people want it, and that's, I'm tired of traveling to California and Illinois to buy my edibles. You know, it's like, I want to get it here in New York. So the book is coming out on the 4th. Where can people buy it?
The book is going to be widely distributed. Chronicle knows what they're doing with this kind of stuff. So everything from, you know, an Amazon or a Barnes & Noble, which is a place where people are very used to getting books, to places like Urban Outfitters that has a more limited selection of just really cool, fun books. To, you know, specialty retailers and cool museum gift shops and things like that. But, you know, right now it's super easy to just pre-order it. You can pre-order it direct from Chronicle Books. You can pre-order it on Amazon. I just launched a partnership with the with a hemp brand called Dadgrass.
Cool.
And so you can actually, if you pre-order the book from Dadgrass, you get a free joint with every pre-order.
That's cool.
And how many times have you ever bought a book and got a free joint? Like, that's a
promo. I mean, never.
It's a promo.
Never. I think it's awesome. So the book itself, Noah, anything in the book, like any favorite parts that you could give a little bit of insight to people on, like, what are you most excited about this release?
I mean, I think it's just a really nice blend of fun, engaging things. Like any page you open up, you're going to get like a little bit of a different energy, a little different portal into like this world that I've tried to build with the project. And mm-hmm. so it's really, it's everything from these, like, you know, celebrity as told to stories to fun, like little quizzes and graphs and charts that are all kind of like, you know, just for fun. And then these more, you know, detailed sort of, you know, interview based, but historical essays about, you know, interesting nuances, like what is the, you know, how has the New York City blunt evolved into what it is today? Like, what is the origin of the rolling paper? Like, what is the story of people who are pioneers in the world of, you know, sculptural rolling? You know, like, there's a lot of interesting nuances. One of my favorites, since you asked, is actually an essay that I wrote about this very unique style of rolling in Trinidad. Which is called the Trinidadian roll-on, where they actually take the last inch or two of a cigarette and then they roll their joint literally onto the cigarette, and then they smoke the joint down, and all of that cannabis resonate, all the resin goes into that tobacco, and then you have this little like 1-inch cigarette at the end that you smoke that has all of that all of the THC and all the resin in it. And they have a very specific vocabulary for like the anatomy of that joint. So that one was a really fun revelation, and it's a really interesting story. The guy that I interviewed about it, you know, he's very plugged in the Amsterdam scene, and he really credits that specific rolling style, like every time he travels around the world, because, you know, Trinidadians who are rolling unique joints are not necessarily the most common type of tourist everywhere. Yeah. He said it opens doors. It makes people want to talk to him. And he feels like that style of rolling has helped sort of connect him to the world and maybe connect Trinidad in a larger way to the world through that.
Love it. Well, listen, I can't wait to read your book. I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show and talk about it. And it'll be interesting too to read some of those interviews, because we've had some folks on the show. And it'd be great. It was really great having you, Noah. And for everybody that's tuning in right now, Noah Rubin is the author of How We Roll. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Ben.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.